Deathwatch.
Welcome to the Nameless Horror, Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition Investigation by Deathwatch Productions. Our investigators are in the small eastern Pennsylvania town of Stoll, each for their own reasons, and that's where we will rejoin them after we introduce our investigators, starting with Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm playing Oscar Herman, undercover FBI agent, currently double undercover on request of the Wipers Pals, correct? To find out what's going on in this town, and it's strange. Everything's strange here.
I'm Travis. I'm playing Rob Wolf. That's Rumble Rob Wolf. Right now, I'm crouched with my brass knuckles on my hand, but I'm going to slip those back into my pocket because Mr. Spates said this is a different guy. Yeah. I'm not too keen on beating up a stranger that bad yet, but we'll still shoot him a couple shots and see how he does.
And I am John playing Tony Ray Spates, and somehow I always knew that my life would spiral out of control by killing everybody in a small town.
Okay, so last session, you all were in Elmer's Steakhouse, and that's where Oscar had spotted someone throwing a head away in the dumpster and back, and so over the course of the session, it turned out to be the person that Tony's looking for. And so you had set up an idea to get Deputy Alexander to come here and ambush him. But at the end of the session, as the police car approached and a deputy exited the vehicle, you realized that it was not Deputy Alexander. This is a younger, smooth-faced young man. And Tony brought him inside and surreptitiously alerted everyone else that it was not Deputy Alexander. And so that's where we'll pick back up. So inside this restaurant there, and you've all been alerted that there is a police officer here, but not Deputy Alexander.
Mm, yeah, so put my gun back in the holster. Mm-hmm. Do you think we could create, what was it called in Shadowrun? A sympathetic link or an empathetic, something like that, where it's an idol that represents like a person for using like targeted magic?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, do you think one cop can fill in for another and we can use this cop as a sympathetic link to take out Alexander?
Gee, Mr. Herman, I don't know. We can try if you want to. I'm not sure I'm following you 100%.
That was obviously out of character.
I know. I thought it'd be funny to if you were actually saying that. But yeah, we can try that.
I'm sure Spates would be down for it. Yeah, so I'll put my gun back in its holster, and I think I was kind of standing near the bar.
Yeah.
Kind of just lean up on it and pretend like I wasn't about to, you know, brawl a cop. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what about you, Rob?
Yeah, I'll mouth to Mr. Herman, should I grab him when he comes in?
I kind of do a slight shake of my head and a hand motion.
All right, I'll try to act casual. I'll just shadow box the air.
Okay, and Oscar?
Tony.
Okay, so I thought it was coming to me and then the name changed. Yeah, so I was telling him, you know, right this way. And I'll let him know, you know, unfortunately the situation has escalated since I went to the police station and filed my report. But everything that you need to see, you'll find it back here. And I'll gesture to the door. I'm not planning on leading the way to the back. It's just you come in and I tell them, so it's escalated since I made my report. Everything that you're gonna need to see is back here. Fair warning is it's pretty gruesome.
Okay, so this young deputy, he looks a little bit nervous. You guess he's probably 20, 21, And you can see his name tag says Foley, and he's clearly nervous, but he squares his shoulders and then follows your direction and heads back to the back of the restaurant. He does talk as he goes, and he says, what exactly am I going to be seeing back here?
It's hard to put into words. Yeah, so I'll say it's hard to put into words, that poor girl.
Oh, so you can see him, like, swallow, and then he heads back there. Are you going to go with him?
Yeah, my plan was to follow behind him as we come to the bar. Mm-hmm. All, as discreetly as I can, like, make a head motion towards him, to Oscar, and, you know, mouth, like, you know, that, cover him.
Okay. All right. And then you guys going to go back there as well or stay out here?
Does he look nervous, the cop?
Yeah, he does.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll pour him a drink. You're going to want this, officer.
Yeah, he says, thanks, but I can't.
Don't worry. I'll leave it right here for you. And I'll put it, you know, in a very obvious spot on the bar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then...
Well, I know it got pretty cramped back there the last time, so maybe I'll just let the three of them go back and I'll keep an eye out on things up here.
Okay. All right. So he goes back there then, and you guys hadn't cleaned up the blood in the office, right?
I don't think we touched anything unless absolutely kind of necessary. Tried not to leave any evidence of our own behind.
Okay.
If you get what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So then he sees that headless body there and you can see that he goes pale and it looks like he barely manages not to lose his stomach, but then he looks back at you and he's got, Tony, he looks back at you and he's got like almost, he's looking at you so hard that it's like a desperation not to see anything else. And he's like, so, tell me what happened here. Did you witness the murder?
No, we came in after, the waitress had taken our order and brought it out. And, next thing you know is the cook that was back here, who also said that he was the manager, came out and he had her head tied to his apron and then he attacked us. I'll pull that overcoat bit to the side to show him, you know, probably sliced and blood-stained, you know, shoulder area.
Mm,
that we managed to subdue him, but not before, you know, this, and there's another one in the dumpster.
Another body in the dumpster?
Yeah. Don't know who this one is. Could be a cook, the actual cook, or, you know, dishwasher or something. He's dressed in some finer clothing, but he worked here for some period, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I know the man you're talking about. I've seen him. He's new to town. Well, and he squares his shoulders then, and he's like, okay, well, let's go look at the dumpster then. I'll have to make a report. I need to see everything. Well, God knows I don't want to.
I'll just point again towards the back, as I'd say it's right back out this way.
Okay. So, yeah, he goes and he looks in the dumpster and sees that body, and he's like, yep, that's the man. I recognize him. He was new to town and apparently good at his job. But then you can see him looking sort of confused as he's thinking things over in his head, but he doesn't say anything for a little while.
As I'll ask him, you know, is this, obviously I'm not from here, but is this a pretty common occurrence in the town? Is it just for business owners to, you know, murder their employees and then try to attack their guests?
So he doesn't, it seems like he didn't hear you, but then finally his head snaps up to you and he's like, no, this is not something that ever happened, not until that damn professor.
Hold on, let me look at my notes, as I think I have that guy listed somewhere.
It's because I think I overheard something in Ma Baker's diner that one time we got breakfast. bunch of high school kids were excited about a visiting professor and his special telescope.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have that.
I mentioned it in character a little bit later, but I don't know if you had any other run-in beyond that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I want to try and get a feel for if I think he's kind of in on it like Alexander is, or the way that it seems.
Great mind sees all.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
But I probably should be quiet. Sorry, I'm not even in the scene.
As maybe psychology, Brennan?
Yeah, do one. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Spates, ask him about the great mind.
I'll ask him, how long has this professor been here? Right. I've been here for, I want to say, almost a week.
Yeah.
I've seen some things. There's nothing like this yet. You know, would imagine that it's got to take, a reasonable or a decent amount of time before you can influence someone to do something like this, and I'll look back towards the kitchen.
Okay. So, yeah, he was mumbling to himself, sort of, and then he said, not tell that damn professor, but when you say more, he looks up and you can see that he's sort of surprised, like he didn't mean to say that. So he shakes his head and he's like, not for you to worry about, sir. Not at all. This is not very common, and in fact, this I don't remember ever happening, but rest assured that it's well in hand, and we'll take over the investigation from here. Now, I need to get information from you and your friends there for the report and for if the chief has any follow-up questions. So why don't we go back inside where we can talk and we can get your information taken down.
Yeah, do you mind if we do it over at the bar area, though? I don't really want to stand back there.
Yeah, I don't mind, and in fact, I insist.
All right, so I'll start leading the way back through. You know, try and kind of hurry through the kitchen area, and if I can get through that door first, as I don't know what type of innuendo type check, but I'm going to, I'm just going to, again, mouth, basically get ready to these guys.
Well, let's do.
Is that a psychology or is there an insight?
Psychology is the insight of Call of Cthulhu, I believe.
Okay.
It replaces that skill.
Yeah, but I wonder what skill he would use to try that. Well, we don't need one.
Well, I mean, interpret it, right?
But yeah, you guys will need a psychology to see if you pick up what he's putting down.
No.
Let's spend the 2 luck.
Steady.
Yeah, like I don't know why he'd want us to jump a rando. So,
but anyway, he comes back in and the deputy Foley comes in behind him. And then, he comes up to the bar and he pulls out his notepad and he says, I just need to get some information from everybody for the investigation. You understand?
Sure thing, officer.
So you're in the front. Well, you're in the main room of this restaurant up at the bar. It's still empty and nobody has come by today, even though the place should be open. And the only vehicle you've seen is from the deputy, which is parked outside. But you're standing at the bar there, and he's got his notepad, and he starts asking, you know, all the basic questions, your name, and when did you get here, and what are you doing here, and what did you see, and things like that. So he's basically just going through the list of questions with all of you about that. You know, there's 3 of you, and you can see that his hand is a little shaky, and he still looks a bit pale. So it's not going very quick, and he's having to like erase some things and write it again.
I'll kind of nudge the drink.
Yeah. So, you know, after a bit of having to erase things, he finally does, but he looks around like to see if anybody's going to see him, you know, like a supervisor, because he's still so new. But then he knocks it back and coughs a bit. That does seem to help.
No shame in having nerves, son.
Yeah.
See, well, people getting killed. It's hard work.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that at all. I can't imagine who could just take somebody's head off like that. I didn't think it would look like that. Anyway.
I know you probably don't want to hear it, but it could always be worse and messier.
You're right. I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah. I kind of got thrown into it.
All right. So we'll say right now he's...
I'm a veteran. You will listen to my war story.
We'll say right now that he's taken information from you, Oscar. So he's gotten Tony's statement. He's taken Oscar's right now. And then Rob, you'll be next.
All right. Yeah.
I do want to make sure he understands that that guy is the guy that did all this is subdued in that walk-in fridge or freezer.
I'm glad you said that because we did overlook that. So, yeah. So when would you have told him that?
Right at the beginning. When he comes in to start questioning, right, one other piece to this is, like I said, we had to subdue him as we have him tied up right now in the walk-in.
All right, so let's go back a little bit then. And when he comes back in from looking at the body in the dumpster, that's when he'll go to the walk-in there, open that up, and sees who you've got subdued there. And he's like, Arnold McDermott. And Arnold McDermott is not awake. He's still not awake, but he's like, oh, yeah, that's the manager of the bar. And what did you do to him? Like, how long has he been out?
What did I don't know. How long we just it... choked him out, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, how long is it had sure to take for me to get there?
Rendered him unconscious the next time, though. What did happen?
I don't think we shot him.
No.
Yeah.
There was a wrestling match. And
yeah, yeah. But he woke up and we talked to him a little bit. And then I can't remember what we did to him.
I thought we just left him in there, didn't we?
I thought he kind of went catatonic.
Yeah, he went catatonic and we just left him there.
Yeah. So that's the state he's in now. So he's like not responding to stimuli or whatever.
Kind of mumbling and stuff.
He's just sort of mumbling and drooling.
Okay.
But so that deputy goes in and like kneels down in front of him and he's trying to talk to him. And eventually he gives up on that because he's not getting any answers at all. So then he'll make sure that the handcuffs are tight and then he'll leave him there and then do the... Mm-hmm. Okay. Statements and stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, I think I'll be as truthful without revealing why I'm here as possible with my statement. So, like, we were coming over to have some breakfast because the line was out and around the corner over at
Ma Baker's.
Over at Ma Baker's. So, we heard good things about here. Came here to get a nice steak and eggs for breakfast. I happened to see the man we currently got in the back room tied up, tossing a head in a dumpster. Went in to warn my friends and kind of went south from there.
And did you see him attack your companion there?
Oh, yeah, standing right behind him.
What weapon did he use?
Cleaver.
Oh, okay.
Or butcher knife, whatever.
Yeah, meat cleaver.
Right,
yeah.
On the floor in the bar still.
Yeah. At this time, he was obviously had wherewithal, but at what point did he get the way he is now?
Sometime after we put him to sleep the first time, knocked him out, woke up. He was kind of responsive. Then he started mumbling some mumbo jumbo. I don't rightly remember.
You remember any of the words specifically?
Nah, but then he kind of just shut down. Been like that since we put him in the closet case. He was trying to pull a fast one.
Mm. Okay, and then you, sir, what did you see?
Yeah, I don't think I have to inject any lie to my part of the story that I'm aware of. So yeah, just, well, you know, chauffeur for Mr. Herman there, and we came here for breakfast, and after we finished our order, he came out, and that's when I saw the waitress's head at his apron there. So I stood up, and next thing you know, he's swinging that cleaver of his. So I took it, and I threw it across the room. It got a little rough from there. We got him down to the ground. You know, got him in more of a talkative mood, but when he was talking, he wasn't saying anything that made any sort of sense. Kept insisting he was the manager and that he ran the place. Still don't give you license to cut somebody's head off, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, just a bunch of nonsense beyond that.
So you don't, well, let's be specific then. What nonsense exactly Do you remember any exact words that he said?
I don't know. Something about like an eye. Eye sees all.
Okay. So now all three of you do a psychology.
I got it this time.
Nope. Rumble Rob's going to come in with the right hook and surprise us all.
When he asked for specifics, I knew I was going to have to say something. I was watching him real close that time to see how he reacted. Well, because I've had a plan for a little while to go back and talk to Mrs. Ellis to see if she's part of the whole thing. Mm. If not, I was going to give her some money to try to go elsewhere for when the
fan. So when you say that, Rob, and you just, because you happen to be paying attention and you're the one talking to him, when you say that, you know, the great eye or whatever, you can see instant recognition and fear in his eyes. But he does recover. It's almost impressive how quickly he recovers and smooths his face over, but you did see it.
Yeah. Real funny, like I was saying, right?
Right. Yeah. What would that even mean? That's just gibberish.
Funny, haha. Why aren't you laughing?
Yeah. But anyway, you see that did mean something to him.
But like I was saying, as soon as he started talking that way, he's been the way you see him now. So that's as much as we got before we sent Mr. Spates down to get you.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I think I've got all the information that I need from you. And where is it that you're staying in case we have more questions?
You know, Mrs. Brizendine's boarding house. That's where I'm at.
Okay. And how about you, sir?
Same.
Are all three of you staying there?
Yes. Indeed. That's how we met.
That's a shame that she's missing.
It is a shame.
But, you know, people of that age, sometimes they just kind of wander off.
That what you think would happen? Case of dementia?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I just heard she was missing. And
well,
I don't know more.
Haven't seen her in a couple days, that's for sure.
Deputy Alexander is handling that investigation. And let me tell you, he doesn't appreciate me sticking my nose where it doesn't belong.
I understand. You got to be careful with that one. He's quick on the trigger.
Is that what he's doing now?
I'd imagine. But I haven't seen him all day now that you mention it. But he's the one I'll have to report all this to, so.
Well, you tell him we said hi. But
I will. And if we have more questions, we'll come find you at Mrs. Brizendine's.
Absolutely, officer. You have a good day.
And you too. I think you gentlemen are all free to go. I'll stay here and clear this up. So this has taken some time. So the sun's like on its way down. You know, it's like more towards dusk. And so there's this effect on the street outside where it's actually a little bit brighter out there than it was in the brighter part of the day, just because of the way the sun is angling down into the street, and none of you have noticed anybody still drive by. But because of the placement, you know, because of where the sun is in the sky, it just happens to be perfect to give like a crystal clear view of the street outside, and you see two men come from down the sidewalk dressed in overcoats and hats and carrying Thompson submachine guns. And they stop in front of the restaurant there and they raise the guns to spray the room with fire. So
that's as we're walking out.
That's you know, as you turn to even look that way, that's what you see. So you're all still standing in the same area by the bar there where he was taking your report, but that's where you'll be when this all begins. All right, so yeah, as you turn to look towards the front door to leave, and it's got the glass windows through on the whole entire front side of the building, you see two men in overcoats and hats stop and pull up Thompson submachine guns and begin to spray the whole restaurant down. So, but Tony, like, you know, you're quick. For whatever reason, you saw him sooner and you realized it was dangerous sooner. So you get an opportunity to act before they start shooting.
That's a tough one. Well, I'll, what is the building made out of?
Well, the whole front is like glass.
Yeah.
It's
even better.
Like the building itself is a brick construction, but the whole front's the plate glass windows.
I'll say, my God. And then, as, yeah, get around the corner and, I'll try to go. If we're coming out the door is, I believe it's going to be to our right. Is that alleyway, right?
No, no, you're still in the building.
Oh, we're in it? Oh, shoot.
You're
still, like, hand on door.
You're still right. Well, not even there. You're still right where, around the bar where the deputy was taking your reports.
And he says, just said you're free to go.
And you guys are free to go. And as you turn in the direction of the front door is when you see these two guys show up. So you're still there by the bar.
Okay. So then in that case, I will say, if you value your lives, get out the back and start running towards that back door.
All right. And so then, yeah. So then the deputy's got his notepad and he looks and you can see his eyes go wide. And, that's the extent of his action there. And then for Rob and for all three of you still, cause Tony hasn't made it out the door or, you know, into the back, but that's when the bullets start flying.
Hey, what's the big idea?
I'm just sitting
that's
here.
Rob said. I do want to sacrifice my next turn to dodge, Brandon, if any of these are coming my way.
That's the problem with a bullet. You can't see it, so you don't know if it's coming to you.
I know. Okay. I just think that's how it works. Because there is no dodging bullets.
Yeah.
They just wanted to give you an out. This ain't Shadowrun.
Yeah, like they were talking about that in the basic one pretty extensively, where, like, if you want to dodge a missile, you need a shield or like a missile weapon. So right. A projectile from like a bow or spear, but anything faster than that, you can't see to dodge.
I like it.
I think you should be able to cut it, which no one ever.
That would be like a superhuman power, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one ever goes on to tell you what would happen. You know, when you cut a bullet like that, either it was going to miss you, which case it just sails on by. Or you've now created two bullets that are going down.
You're just going to spin around inside your body.
Oh, yeah. Spin around fast enough, take off like a helicopter.
The two parts will go in your chest and travel up your arms and give you magic hands.
You know, I got these hands.
I cut a bullet with a sword.
I cut a bullet. The good Lord reached down and took my sword hand.
Okay. We make some rolls here as the bullets start flying.
Doom, doom, doom. Gotta be careful. You only do so many seconds of the song.
Yeah. All right, so that is... And then we take their skill.
Can I shoot their bullets with my bullets?
Gotta break this up into volleys.
I haven't read it, but I was thinking about making that, like trying to use volley rules for, like units of archers. Like that might work. I'll have to look more into it.
All right. So yeah, so essentially everybody in the room from the first guy has three bullets coming towards you. So let me target. All right. Yeah, that's how it works. So. Yeah, so this first one will do his first. So he's spraying the room. So, you know, essentially it breaks it up into volleys and, you know, adds penalties and blah, blah, blah. So where's Rob? So Rob, okay, and then, so Rob, you feel the sting. Well, right, yeah. So Rob, you would have been hit. And then Oscar as well. But let me make sure. No, let me do that again. So... Scratch that. So, Rob, you are not hit. But Oscar, also not hit. Okay, so then the next guy, which, you know, it's all happening at the same time, but let's see, there's bullets coming at Tony, bullets coming at Oscar. Ooh, okay. All right, so, you know, at the same time, they both open up with these submachine guns and glass is flying everywhere. The sound is deafening. The bar's getting hit, chairs, tables. Alcohol is splashing everywhere. Glass is flying. You all feel the bullets just come so close to you. None of you get hit with any of them. But the deputy is not so lucky. So let me get the...
Cut off his head and put him in the dumpster with the other one.
See, 1d2. All right, so that was... what? And then it's damage for each bullet, right?
I think it's if the half attack the bullets.
Half of the shots fired... Yeah.
You only get damage for each on an impale or extreme success.
Okay.
I think they round down too usually. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the deputy, he got an extreme success. And let me do this. Yeah. So, you know, you obviously can't tell how many of the bullets hit him, but enough to immediately kill him. So you can see, you know, blood flying from him and, you know, as his neck disappears and then his stomach bursts open and blood's pouring out there and he just falls down to the ground. But that's their two actions. They're spraying the whole joint down. So far, none of you have been hit, but you can feel that the bullets are pretty close. And Rob, that brings us to your turn.
Yeah, so I'll hit the deck and I'll say something that I don't even know what I said.
Yeah.
Some sort of warning. And I'll start. If I have a path to where we're behind the spar or in front of it, wherever we're at, I'll just hit the deck and start crawling to the kitchen.
Yeah, you definitely could vault over the bar and get behind it.
Yeah.
Like from where you are.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good move, but I'll probably actually will hit the deck and start crawling. I'm not a war hero type fella.
Okay.
Seems more instinctual to me.
Be the me that I believe you to be.
What? Sanity roll.
Okay, and then Oscar.
Is there a cover system in this? Like, if I go get behind this bar, will it count towards, like, something? Or
yeah,
is it just...
I mean, basically, I just assign a, like, a penalty die to them
okay.
based on what cover you have.
All right. Yeah, I'll hop over the bar, and I'll use it to steady my hand. I'll lean across it and pull my gun.
Okay.
And I'll return fire. How many shots do you think I can get off, Brandon? Just the one? Or you think I can go for all three?
Yeah.
Just the one?
No, you could do all three.
Okay. So this will just be at one, and I'm kind of hoping to just get them to realize that they're being or having fire returned at them. All right. Yeah,
so what with your Colt 1911? All right. And so what's the range for that? 15 yards?
Yeah.
So you're within that for sure.
Okay. Was it one penalty die per shot, Travis, or after the first or altogether?
I think it's applied to each one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're looking to...
Just one penalty die on each roll.
Oh, okay.
So when firing semi-automatic... Yeah, apply a penalty die to each shot, making a skill roll for each bullet fired.
Okay, so it's just the one penalty die?
Just as when firing multiple rounds from a handgun.
No, different rule. Okay.
So let me look at that and make sure we got it right. Handguns, multiple shots, penalty die. Many handguns are capable of firing two or three shots per round. Firing one allows for more careful aim and steadying of the weapon. Firing more than one places speed above accuracy. When firing two or three shots in one round, roll for each shot individually. With all shots receiving one penalty die.
Okay. So penalty die, first shot. Is that 90? Whew.
96.
Is it not? It's not a fumble, so we're still good. All right, okay. Second shot.
That's a regular success. Or wait, no.
It should be a hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And third, another 90. Ooh.
That one's a 99.
Yeah, I'm looking to... Where's my fumble... If it's a fumble, I might spend
no,
luck.
No, it's not.
Okay.
You got to get a 100 for that. All right. Gun.
So three shots. I'm just returning fire, kind of hoping that they might take the hint and start ducking. But against that one guy that I got the normal hit on.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, you're just laying down fire trying to get them to, you know, trying to get them to realize something can come back their way, but it has more effect than you were expecting. So.
And I think I'll shout at Rob, you know, follow Tony, Robbie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can hear above the shattering glass and gunfire, you can hear Tony scream or Oscar scream, follow Tony. And then, so that guy drops to the ground, stops firing his machine gun, the one you hit. You're not sure exactly where, but he does drop to the ground.
These have the drum magazines, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that'll bring us back to you, Tony. So now, Tony, you burst through that door into the back of the restaurant. So far, haven't been hit by any bullets.
Okay. And I should have the sheriff's, his service weapon.
The revolver that we took from, yeah.
Yeah. Or
was it a revolver? It was, right?
I believe that it was.
Yeah. That you're talking about the chief?
Or the chief's, yeah, sorry.
Oh, he had a 1911.
Oh, nice.
Oh, he did? Okay. But yeah, I'll, a good old boy. I'll pull that out of my waistband as I start to head through the kitchen and out the back door. As just take a second at the door itself to take a look out and around the corner, see what I can see.
Yeah, here, let me... Yeah.
If Oscar can sense that Tony pulled his gun, yeah. Now I'll start showing fear. He's more likely to hit me and himself than he is the gunman.
But I was shooting out the back door. How did it happen?
You're ricocheting it off a lamppost. Some kid holds up a notebook. Boing!
Wait a minute. That shouldn't even be possible.
Soundtrack.
A bird so that, flaps its wings too hard and ricochets back the other way.
That's on your character sheet now, the Colt 1911. So what were you going to do again?
So pull that from the waistband and go to the back door and take a look, like, you know, out and around the corner. To the left and to the right, see what okay. I see.
Do a spot hidden for me.
Nope.
Okay, so you, you know, you pull out that pistol and you pop your head out into the back, and it's pretty dark back here now, even though it's not exactly dark outside, but just the spacing of the buildings in this alley. Not a lot of lights getting back in here, but you look both ways and you don't see anything.
So okay. You're so surprised when you get hit by the car.
Yep, or someone just mows you down from behind. So, would the left or the right take me around to the side quickest? Is this right in the middle of that alley, or are we at the? I imagine we're at the beginning of the alleyway, right?
Well, pretty close to it, to okay. the left.
So
there's one more building between you and the street where you guys. Originally, we're walking down when you saw this alley to begin with.
Okay. Then, yeah, I will kind of keep low, if possible, and start making my way left up the alleyway to the side street so I can hopefully come around and spot those shooters.
Okay. So you're going to head around to the side. Okay. So I'd say you can make it about halfway to the sidewalk.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other guy's still firing. So essentially, well, you know, he can still see Rob because you just hit the ground and started crawling, right, Rob?
Yep.
All right. So there'll still be some bullets coming your way, and that'll be at a penalty. And then some rounds coming your way, Oscar, also at a penalty. So let me do... All right. So they say for... If there's going to be more than two penalty die, then it just goes up to the next difficulty.
Mm.
And then that would make it, well, yeah, makes it extreme.
Let it all be noted, though, that that's why the sheriff is dead, or not the sheriff, but the deputy is dead, or this cop guy, whatever he is. So these guys already got one extreme under their belt.
All right, so Rob, you know, bullets seem to hit everywhere around you except you.
Ain't fair, you can't punch a bullet.
And then Tony.
Or Oscar. Him, though.
I like the idea of that, of you bobbing and weaving bullets.
Oh, we got a hit on Oscar.
Would it, would that include the bar I'm behind? Or would that stage up the difficulty one more?
Yeah, it would. Let me.
Sorry, I'm...
No, you're right.
My life's on the line here. I'm rule lawyer in heart.
No, you're right. I forgot the... I forgot that. So we'll put it here. And if it had been that, and he got a 20, and his skills... He wouldn't have got it. So that's a miss. But does send splinters into your face, blinding you for good.
Okay. You could also probably start destroying the bar to like negate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's definitely some holes getting put in that bar. And he is close. It seems certain to you that he's zeroing in on where you're at, even though he's firing from the hip. So that's him. He's still firing wildly, madly. And Rob, now that's to you. And so bullets are hitting everywhere around you. Booze is falling, you know, splashing on you from the bar up above.
Yeah, I'm doing that half crouch, half on all fours scrabble to get back to the kitchen the way Mr. Spates went.
Okay.
Probably still hollering. Woo, woo, woo.
just random stuff.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Lordy, Lord.
They shoot.
Well, he spent a lot of time in church, so he's probably, Lord's my shepherd, ain't he? All right, so you you can make it back into that back room through that swinging door, and then that'll be your turn, and then Oscar.
All right, I'm going to return fire, and then my plan is to start following Rob.
Okay.
So three more shots his way, penalty die. Was that 8, 23?
Yeah, so you got a hard success there.
Okay, you want me to roll the damage now, or does it not change with hard?
It doesn't change. So okay, just roll them all. Yeah.
Shot 2.
All right, that's a regular success.
Shot 3.
And a hard success.
Yeah. All right, here comes the damage. I'm targeting him. Okay, 1. Did all 3 hit, or just 2?
Yeah, all 3 hit.
2, 3. And then, without even waiting to see, I'll break for the door after Robbie.
Okay. Yeah, so you fire off 3 quick shots, and then you dart through the door, and then, let me see, Oscar. So you dart through that swinging door after you fire off those shots, and then...
I love the thrill of battle, Robbie.
Woo!
Is it sulfur?
Let's have a dex check from you, Oscar.
Gonna trip over Robbie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you do. I mean, you do get through that door, but you have no way of knowing he's still gonna be on the ground right inside there. So you do trip on him and fall down.
You have some way of knowing because I'm going. Oh Lord.
Okay. And then Tony. So you keep going and you dart around that corner down up to the corner of the street and then look down and, then you can see both of those dudes are laying on the ground now. The firing has stopped and both of them are down on the ground. And you can actually, even from your distance, you can see a large pool of blood leaking out towards the side or the over the sidewalk into the gutter.
All right. And if I am close enough for it, then I'll head over there and secure those Thompsons. As if I'm not close enough to make it all the way, then I will start to head over there to secure those Thompsons.
Yeah, you can definitely make it down there.
All right, so I'll put that Colt back in my waistband and grab both of those Thompsons and really just secure them so that way they can't pick them up, start shooting again if they're not already dead. But it's mainly just to get them away from the people that were shooting at us. So just grab them up under like one arm and the plan will be to start to head back towards that that alley mouth.
Okay. Yeah, so you sweep up those Tommy guns there and you can see that one of the guys, there's nothing happening there, no movement, and the other one you can hear him even over the ringing in your ears from the gunfire. You can hear him whisper, mumbling to himself, almost like he's praying, but he's, you know, the great eye sees me, great eye sees me, the great eye. And then, you know, and then off you go back towards that alley. So, but based on the damage that's been done to his body, he's going to be dead in a second and would already have been dead if the keeper didn't want to have him say, the great eye sees me. Well, you could still hear it. So that'll bring us out of the combat mode. But Oscar and Rob are like in a tangle on the floor there. But the shooting has stopped.
All right.
But you fired so quick. I mean, you're sure you hit him, but you didn't wait to see the effect. Yeah. And so to you, you're not sure that he's down. He might just be coming in to find you or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I'll try to untangle myself as best I can, and then I'll keep a beat on the door I came through.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, good thinking, Rob, staying low. keep heading out.
I wasn't thinking, Mr. Herman.
I'll cover you. Just keep going.
Yeah, I'll keep moving. crouched.
Yeah, and so I'll kind of stay prone, like on my back, kind of
okay,
aiming at the door, getting ready.
All right.
Until Robbie gives me the go-ahead that he's at the door, then I'll make my way there to clear it.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, Rob, you can get that door open and see out into the alleyway.
Right.
You don't see any danger out there.
Yeah, I'll motion him forward.
All right, yeah. I'll head on out and start peeking around the corner much the same way my fellow companion Tony did moments before.
Okay.
If he's not already back there.
Yeah, so when you guys get out into the alley, he's not. But a second or two later, he comes jogging around the corner from the street.
Say, good work, Oscar. You got them both. But I think it's best that we get out of here before anybody else may come.
I agree. Got to head on back to that house.
Hand off one of the Thompsons to Oscar and the other one to Rob.
I was never much one for these.
All right, then I will keep one of the Oscars or one of the Sir Thompsons and hand the other off to Rob. Yes, as I pull out two Oscar Herman machine guns.
I wouldn't mind having a second Oscar around.
Are you going to accept
it,
Rob?
I wouldn't mind having that right now either.
I'll take it just because he's not going to be able to hold on the two of them, but I don't know how to use it beyond the base ability.
It's okay. We'll learn together, Rob.
Let's practice firing right now.
You
that
got
way
it.
We can increase the skill before next game session. Is there any small target we can... but it looks out of place in my hand, so I'll just kind of hold it in one hand by my side and look to you guys to go. But I will say, you know, maybe we got to go back to that one house we were laying low at last night.
Well, we just got to get to our car.
Where'd we park it at?
I think it was by the church.
Yeah.
What was that, like 2-3 blocks?
Yep.
Think we'll take or stick to the back alleys. No one out on that street, and I don't want to be the only one there.
Rob, did you intend to have 3 shotguns in your inventory?
yeah. No, I don't have 3 shotguns in my inventory. My understanding was that we didn't have
arm
the ranges.
As a shotgun.
Fantasy Grounds didn't do the...
Oh, I got you.
The
got
ranges,
you.
That's why.
Okay. Oh. Well, the Thompson's in your inventory...
Just let me make some room.
I got to take my long range shotgun out.
Yeah, you might not even have that right now, right?
No, that's back in the trunk.
All right, so I'm going to...
I just kept him in there because I figured I might have a shotgun in my hands at some point. Yeah.
I'm going to reload my gun, slide a new mag in, and start leading the way back towards the car.
I also don't have a rifle.
So let me have from each of you...
Just want y'all to know that they drew first blood.
No question about that, Mr. Herman.
Well, you know what? Let's get an intelligence from each of you.
They were talking about that eye again.
I might not look it, but I'm highly intelligent.
I may not sound it, but I'm highly intelligent.
Yeah. We're in our downtime, we just sit around and discuss like... Well, actually, we're not... I'm educated, too. What about you?
What constitutes intelligent or good or bad at it, though? The plus or the minus on the 50? Sub 50 or
so
over 50?
I should have said a hard.
Mm.
In a hard intelligence. And in that case,
I will
Tony would
luck.
Be close.
Yeah, I will spend one luck to make my intelligence hard.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't spend it.
All right, so Tony, I mean, you guys are all, let's get out of here. Let's get back to the car. But Tony, it occurs to you, not that you have to do anything about it, but it occurs to you that there's a dead deputy in there, and he did write down your names and take statements from you, so, you know.
But you're also on record calling him, so.
Yeah. The lady
I am
gonna
too.
Remember you.
Yeah, I'll, I mean... For what it's worth, the information that he should have written down should exonerate us of the murder that happened at the in the diner. But and it's obvious that this looks like a setup or for an ambush on the police themselves. So regardless,
use forgery and write and they did not shoot me with the Tommy gun, and then like a kind of trailing line.
That's
as
in his
die.
Report. And wait, do like, somebody out the window.
Holy cow, there's two guys unrelated to the three that I mentioned in my earlier notes.
Tommy guns in hand.
Which, Tommy guns, which are now not going to be at the crime scene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so that's, yeah. That
do with that
sense.
What you will. I'm just letting you know. That's what
well,
you curse
if,
to you.
If you want to roll that into the intelligence, then I'll say, like, well, maybe we should, like, they're dead, which, and that's about as secure as you can get with firearms. And as much as I don't want, you know, someone to come along and just pick these things up, it's going to look mighty odd. That he's got all of our information in his notebook, saying how we were witnesses to one crime, and now not only are we gone, but the weapons that killed him are gone. Maybe we should put these back before we go to the car.
You're talking too much, Tony. Time to get moving.
I'll put my hand out for that other Thompson.
You're taking it back?
I'm sorry, Rob. I know you were a good boy this year, and I promise next Christmas will be real special, but I gotta take this one back.
I'll be happy to be rid of it. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. I'll just say that I'll catch up, and I'll go and perfectly stage those two in a firing position.
Just wipe off our fingerprints, but leave theirs on it.
Yeah, do it perfectly. Okay, and then it was back to the car?
Yeah. I'll lead the way.
So for whatever reason that nobody came to that restaurant all day, suddenly, you know, after you guys go two blocks, there's people out and about again, like it's a town with things going on. There's nothing to explain why there wasn't anybody around all day down where you were, but now you've got back to closer to the church. Now there's people out and about. Walking around doing their thing.
When I start seeing people that don't seem aggressive going about their daily lives, I'll put my gun away.
Yeah.
But I'll still keep my head on a swivel.
Okay. So then, yeah, you guys can make it back to the car. And then you wanted to go to the where you're squatting?
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully taking a way that doesn't take us past Elmer's.
Okay. Everybody give me an extreme spot hidden roll.
No.
Nope.
Okay. So you get back to, you know, Methodist Episcopal Church, you pile into the car, and then you head back to the house on the Cannery Street that you've been squatting in, with a slight detour to make sure you don't go close to the Elmer Steakhouse. But when you pull into the driveway of that house, it's now full dark outside. There's nothing that anybody sees at the house outside to indicate that anybody's there or has been. So it looks just like you left it. And then that turns out to be the case inside as well.
Okay. And also should probably tomorrow morning go check on the poor chief and that slow fella that we got tied up over at the Jensen farm.
Yeah, especially if they've been brainwashed by whatever's going on, they don't deserve to die.
Well, that one feller does.
The chief doesn't deserve to die for it.
He doesn't.
And so we'd say it's about 7:30 in the evening. So it's dark outside because it's February.
All right.
And about 7:30, and then the only other thing already on your plans was the midnight mass.
Oh.
But until then, what would you guys like to do?
Well, I think I'd to instigate a brief discussion about this professor.
Yeah.
He's propped up again.
I was going to bring him up. Like the deputy mentioned that this stuff started when the professor came to town, which could it start that chain of thought for Rob.
Yeah, so far the information that you have about the professor is that the people in the diner that you overheard, Rob, I mean, it was exciting.
Right.
And then Tony, the deputy, did sound so excited about the professor, but that's pretty much the extent of the information you guys have about him.
Yeah, he said that ever since Well, it wasn't like that until this professor came to town, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing that you know, Rob, is that he's apparently a well-to-do professor, and he has a house out on the, you know, northwestern side of town, not too far away from the hospital in the rich area. So you know that his house is up on an elevation. Like when you're staying at Brizendine's house, looking out to the west, you see the recreation ground, and that's a park / playground that the whole town uses. But a couple hundred yards of it, it's grass and it's nice. But at the back of the recreation ground to the west is a cliff that goes up, you know, about 100 feet. And you know that it's up on that elevation further to the west that the professor has his house, where the richest people of town live. That's pretty much right. All you know.
Well, if it doesn't, you know, if we don't get nothing from this minister, maybe he'll be worth talking to. I don't know why. I got a prejudice against slick, educated types. My ex-girlfriend went in for that wackadoo seance stuff, and it was always a fella like that running one of those, you know? But like I said, prejudice.
Not to nitpick, but I wouldn't really exactly call seance a science or a professor tour or a professor gig.
Hey, I agree with that assessment, but they always presented it that way, you know?
You do that to my girlfriend.
My ex-girlfriend. I tried straightening her out, but I suppose that's why we parted ways.
All right. I guess we're still on for the midnight mass then?
Yeah. I got one thing I got to do, though.
You need any help with it?
Only if you want to, but it's been bothering me ever since we saw those women in the house out there about Miss Ellis, my neighbor. Now, I got a suspicion maybe she's like everybody else, so I was just going to run out and find out, and if she's not, I was going to give her some money and see if she'd get out of town, but I can't leave her hanging, you know? She's been one of the people good to me since I got here.
All right.
I'll go, if nothing else, just to watch your back.
Oh, what time do we got?
If it doesn't seem like it would be obscenely late to
in real life,
there.
No, in game, and so like
yeah, she'd still be up, and they'd be doing their nightly.
Is it proper to have a male caller at this time, though?
Well, you know,
I ain't calling none.
Rob probably isn't all that concerned about it at this point, given the seriousness of everything.
I was just gonna see if it'd be something we could all do and then hang out. If it was like close enough in time to the mass,
mm-hmm.
But if not,
well, it's a little risky, you know, because she's right next to the boarding house, and I figure, with as much as they know we're there, right?
How's about me and Tony go with you, and we'll drop you off, and we'll cruise around. Maybe we can spot someone. By Deputy Alexander.
Well, I appreciate that. Shouldn't take long.
All right.
Okay.
Let me get one of those shotguns, Rob.
Yeah, that's what we can do while we're here, is reload on any ammo.
You want the 1d6 one or the 2d?
I'll take your left arm. Whichever one it's that my, one is.
Guys, it's my shotgun. You need to ask me.
I think I'm all right with the... I think I'm actually better with the shotguns.
I think most
rifle,
people are.
But the handgun, I'm still better than with the submachine gun, so it'll work.
What's that?
Plus, if I
15?
Just if I punch while I shoot, then I should get to use my fighting brawl instead of firearms.
Guns akimbo, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are going to take the car and drop Rob off at Marion and Rosemary Ellis's house next to the Brizendine boarding house.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oscar and Tony are going to drive around and
see what they can see.
See what you see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Uh-huh. All right. So when you pull up to Marion Ellis's house, you can see the lights are still on. And there's no lights on in the Brizendine's house, but there is still in Marion's house. And so you can you drop off Rob, and Rob, you can go up and knock upon the door if you want.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have to end it there for today.
All right. Well, thanks, Brandon.
Pick it back up.
Thank
there.
You.
Glad I didn't die doing the chain gun cha-cha, even though it wasn't a chain gun.
Yeah.
Could have been.
This has been a Death Watch production. Thank you for listening.